Hello there. Welcome to episode 10 of Amateur Hour, the AmJam podcast. I'm David Jeffrey, and with my co-host Paul Arons, we'll be using this podcast to explore the weird and wonderful world of AmJam, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. We'll be speaking to people from all across the country, from groups of all shapes and sizes, finding out what makes them tick and why we put so much time and effort into entertaining the public. In this episode, we're joined by Graham Oxterby from Staining Drama Club. In this episode, we'll be talking about starting an AmJam group from zero and going to complete hero, offering shows and a meal for only £10, and having a waiting list for tickets. If you enjoy the show, please do leave us a rating through your podcast app so we get recommended to other podcast listeners on the podcast algorithm, and share with anyone you think might be interested. So, curtains up, and on with the show.
So, Staining Drama Club, it was formed around about May 2018, so it's quite recent. Probably best to say a little bit about Staining, which is quite a decent-sized village in West Sussex. If you go 3 or 4 miles straight down south, you'll hit the south coast and you'll hit Shoreham-by-Sea. To the right is Worthing, which has got some very nice theatres and everything like that. And to the left, about 10 or 12 miles away, is Brighton, which is stuffed full of great places to sort of go. But Staining is not too concerned about that. The drama club itself is purely amateur. 25 to 30 members. And it's, like I say, it's an amateur drama club. Originally, when we first started, I believe there was a drama club in Staining originally, but I don't know the history of it, and it finished quite a few years ago anyway. So in 2018... it was decided to start off another one, and we began by sort of thinking that it would be quite a social thing, as well as amateur drama club, and it would take form of fun, social, and also we would, you know, be serious about our drama. But so to start off with, we had a small committee, and they steered us for a few weeks, a little start off. They began by, and we thought we'd take the themes of entertainment, amateur, fun and that to start with, and we'd try and sort of start our recruitment, if you like, and those sort of things. And we were quite lucky to have a couple of quite clever people to start us off, and we managed to get our campaign up and running, and we flooded the area. It's sort of Staining in the surrounding villages, really. And we flooded the area with sort of posters, leaflets, postcard type things. And we were quite lucky to get probably the first 20, 30 members were very much first timers. Not done any drama. Or it was about 80% of us were first timers. Not done any drama, not done any work with drama groups. And we were ready to sort of start going, really. We had quite a good start. And we also managed to get a website up and running quite quickly, which was very useful. And it helped promote us throughout the surrounding area. And so you could turn around and say, you know, your website's up and running. And that was very good.
So there was a gap in the market then in your area. And lots of people who might have wanted to do AmDram hadn't had the chance to do it. So you came along. Who were the people, though, who got together to create the group then first? Was it people you knew sociably, or was it someone?
My wife and I had moved into the area probably the year before, and we were new to the area, quite new. And we'd belonged to drama where we'd come from. And my wife felt that it was, you know, she was ready to go again and do some more drama. And so it was a little bit like gap in the market. Staining was deep, like I say, is quite a decent sized village. It has a decent high street. It has venues available to it. It has halls, and it has the Staining Centre, which is a building that has houses, a hall, a stage, offices, kitchen, and so on. So it's available to us, and they will hire it out. It also has a couple of small halls, and it has a very good very good grammar school there, which is, and they have a purpose-built theatre with sound and everything available to the students that go to the. But we haven't used that, but that is available also. So it's got good facilities, and it was private ready, And it had, like I say, I don't know the history, but it had a drama club in the past. And so it was, there was a bit of a gap in the market, and we were ready, and my wife and I were ready to go.
Since 2018, what sort of shows have you been doing?
Well, to start off, like I say, we had a membership that was very much starters, new starters. We were quite keen to get going with, in 2019, with the first productions. And by then, we'd got everything established, and we were ready to sort of start putting on something. So we put on two shows altogether in 2019. Both of them were what I would call full-on performances, i.e. they had a good-sized cast, which is double figures. They had sound, prop, stage design, everything. But they also came with, included in the ticket price, they came with a meal. A sit-down meal. And now the Stirling Drama Centre, where we hosted our production, like I say, has a good hall. Probably you'd get 100 plus in there seated, but we managed to get about 70 to 90 in there seated with tables so that we could have food, act one, the interval with food, act two, end.
Yeah.
And so they were full-on production, what I'd call full-on productions. And it was quite ambitious probably for our group to go at, but we thought everyone was keen, it was all going very well, and it worked fine so well that we managed to go for November 2019, where we put on another production, same format, and that went well as well, so we did very well in 2019.
What ticket prices do you charge them for a show and a meal?
They were in the region of £10, that sort
that's
of area.
That's not bad at all.
That's very decent for a show and a meal.
Yeah, 10, 12. And it was, it went down very well. It went down very well. It was a huge effort on everyone's part, because a lot of people were, like I say, brand new to drama. They'd looked at our, what we were offering, saying, this is what we offer, i.e., entertainment, social fun, come along and see what you would do. We did have some experienced people take up the call, and they were very useful. The first production was Mixed Doubles by Lynn Brittany, and it offered us a good start, a decent cast of about 10 to 12, and we took it full on, straight, stared it in the face and said, right, we're going to go. And it became quite so well that we did it again for a production, a homegrown production, actually, a home written and directed second production. What we had were two performances at the centre, a Friday and a Saturday, and they would both have the sit-down meal and the play.
Yeah.
So what did you find more difficult then, putting the play together or complying with the kind of food hygiene and the kind of food preparation side of it? Because I just feel like if someone asked Walton Drama Group, oh, do you want to do a play and a show? No, a play and a meal. Nobody would be eating the food after seeing the quality of the acting, just in case the two are related.
We managed to... get a group. The startup group was quite good in that we'd managed to get a group of people that were willing to take on the production and the organization of everything around. Okay. And then we managed to get a set of people that were very keen to kick off with a directing, prop, sound, and everything. So we kept the two separate, but together, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And it worked quite well. In fact, the second production managed to get a waiting list of tickets.
That is impressive.
Yeah, which was something that not many of us had come across before. And so the website did very well and was up and was very very much to the fore then. It was working very well. Facebook had come online as well, so that was going very well. And we managed to get local businesses interested in sponsorship as well. So it was moving along at a very fast pace, and it gathered so much pace that by the end of 2019, most of the group were thoroughly exhausted.
And I guess what it shows is it shows the appetite and desire that there is for this kind of amateur local theatre in villages all across the country.
I think that's true.
People there who have never done it before, but someone kind of says to them, look, we're setting this up. Are you interested? And the kind of interest that you've got there just shows what the people want to do this.
Yeah. I also think that if you, as you guys probably know, that if you think to yourself that you've got, right, I've got 12 actors together now, and you guys know that it never works like that. You're going to run into difficulties. So you've got to have a good group of people that are willing to put a huge amount of effort in behind the scenes and get the production, get the sound, get everything together all at the same time, get a good director going, and it needs everything. 10 or 12 actors on their own are not going to do anything, and they're never going to be anything worthwhile. They even may be great actors, but you need people that are going to step up and say, I will do, you know, organise that. I will get that together, and I will help you with your sound. I will produce some stage design. I will do... You need everything together. And we managed to get a group of people, probably from our original, like I say, our original idea was, let's make it fun, let's make it entertaining, let's make it a social thing. Because you don't get guys coming back week after week, because you're not getting paid. You don't get guys, you know, coming back next week. I'm not going to come back next week if it's not what I want, if it's not fun. I will not turn up.
Yeah, it has to become part of your social calendar, doesn't it, really?
It does. And that also came, again, one of your questions about, you know, when COVID came along, some people found that they were putting huge amounts of effort into the production and getting things going. And then they realised when it all shut down and everything closed, they took stock of what they were doing and said, right, that's too much. I can't continue to put that much effort into it. So we did lose a couple of people to start off when COVID hit and everything shut down. It became a bit of a problem. And some people said, my work is more important. I'm putting a hell of a lot of effort into my drama, but I need to step back and say, I need my work is more important now. I need my job more than I need my drama.
Well, David, I can guarantee you, I've never said that.
I was thinking that as well. I was thinking that's not Paul Aaron's.
Drama comes first. I know. I appreciate that. Yeah. That's not everyone's sentiments.
I'm probably jumping ahead a little, guys. Sorry, but you know.
No, it's quite all right.
After 2019, there was a lot of hard thinking done even before COVID, but we'll probably come into that a little bit later. Yeah.
So before we get to these big decisions, then in the two or so years that you've been set up, what do you think your group's biggest achievement's been?
I think it was taking it from zero to
hero.
The end of 2019, where we'd actually got a production that was we'd managed to get ready and sell tickets for. And we'd actually managed to make sure that our previous audience on the early 2019 production was there and ready, waiting to pick up tickets for the later one. And also, I think, although you know what it's like, guys, when Facebook and the website come along, you can't beat family and friends and word of mouth to get you noticed, get you around there. The website has been fantastic, but you know, it's much as word of mouth gets you, and we were being picked up by businesses as well. They were saying, you're Stunning Drama Club, you know, yeah, we're willing to put some sponsorship behind you, we're willing to do, and we'll promote you and various, you know, sites, stores around the high street were saying, yeah, okay, we know who you are, we know what you're going to. And that sort of gave us the drive to do another one and also another production. And also, we were quite amazed to find that people were just sticking their names down and saying, yeah, if anyone drops out, I want two tickets. So that was amazing. I don't want to oversell it, but it was not, you know, huge amounts. But it was quite nice to have people come up and say, we'll put a, like you say, put an advert in your program, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I think it's something as a group we need to do better, David. But you know, I think we need to be more approachable and and possibly more proactive on that front. But
I think you're right. I think it's also partly because, like you say, it's that there was a gap in the market. People are really enthused about a drama group, and they do want to support it because they want people enjoy supporting what they enjoy supporting local businesses.
It is quite heartening to actually see that people will put themselves out and actually, you know, even people you meet in the local pub and say, oh, you coming along, and I don't do that sort of thing. I don't come along to do amateur drama. And you gradually sort of lean on them and say, go on, come on. Yeah, you'll be amazed. And they do enjoy it. Yeah. So it's again, the friends and associates network that drives it forward in some ways.
So going from nothing to, you know, a waiting list for tickets, very impressive. What do you think the group's kind of biggest failure or biggest setback has been?
Again, ironically, in my mind, it would be the fact that we ended 2019 with some of the group sort of on their knees, really. They'd had two big productions, and when it came to the inquest, as it were, the meeting after the production, what happened, what do you think went well, and so on and so forth. Some of them were saying, we're absolutely exhausted now. We've done two big productions and we're completely wiped out. And so we actually sat down and said, okay, this can't continue. We can't have people, okay, they're enjoying themselves, but they're on their knees, basically. They're exhausted by what they've done. And so we actually took time to pause everything and say, right, this can't continue. What do we need to do? And we spent the next 2 or 3 weeks looking at the fact that where does the group want to be in 1 year, 5 years and 10 years' time? What do we want to be doing? Because at the moment, it can't continue like this.
And what decision did you come to?
Well, we had a couple of people that were really good at this sort of thing. And they said, right, the next three meetings, we're going to plan it all out down. And we had walls covered in post-it notes. And we asked everyone in the group to say, what do you want to do? What is your opinion of this? How do you see the group taking shape over the next year, 5 years and 10 years? And we gradually worked it all out and sat down and said, and it became, and we collated everything together and said, right, okay, we can't keep on doing two productions a year, full on, everything going, because, you know, we're going to wear people out. And so we said, okay, let's diversify the group. Let's expand it a little bit, maybe, initially. Go for another recruitment drive. Make sure we get a load more people. And then we can probably say, okay, let's go for something a little bit more low-key, a smaller production with three or four people, two or three people in the production, no meal, just a little, you know, small group for an audience of about 20 or 30, maybe, and go for that. Or go for a... And then later on in the year, get another. And so what we were trying to format was a production team would pick something. It could be serious drama, small production, 20-minute play, panto, a serious drama, although none of us wanted to go for Shakespeare, and so on. They would hold their ideas up and say, this is what we want to do. And they would put them before the committee. We've got a production team, we've got sound, we've got this, can you fund us? And so it would be a more organised and coherent sort of group. They would go away and do it, and then that would be it. Keep the fun and the
What is the budget then for your shows? If you're doing two big shows a year, or were?
Not hugely expensive, but they did consume a fair amount of money. But we were quite lucky. If we go back a bit, when we started, we managed to get some fundraising going. We also were quite lucky to get some sponsorship. Public donations came in, and which is something again that we'd not come across. A couple of members of the public said, "Keep my name anonymous, but here is some money to kick your group off," and that was quite good. But we managed to, both productions weren't hugely expensive, but the price was kept reasonable so that we could make a little bit of profit. And the fact that by the end of 2019, we'd had made a reasonable amount of money on them. And I think going forward, what we thought was, we don't have to keep driving for money all the time. Right. Another thing that came out of the meetings we had was, we don't have to strive for profit. We don't have to do everything on a budget. If you want to go for an expensive set or do something that's a little bit more out of the ordinary, do it. As long as you're happy, and the community will come along and you do it and watch it.
So you've spoken about COVID kind of being a bit of a signal to some of your members that actually maybe you can't go 100 miles an hour forever. So can you talk us through that a bit and some of the consequences of COVID then? Were you doing a show that you had to stop doing, or how has it made you kind of reevaluate what your group's trying to do?
Well, yes, yeah, probably the worst time possible, but I don't think there probably is a good time for a pandemic, really, is there? So 2020, and we were about to start our first, probably what you would call, cut down production, ready, or we're going to do Between Mouthfuls by Alan Ayckbourn, which is a, as you probably might know, it's a cast of about three or four. We just had a production manager, and we just put it towards the committee and said, can we go ahead with this? Approve, go ahead. And we were only going to do it in small hall with a handful of people around, like I said, 20. And it was going to be make a problem. It would probably be something that there was a number of actors that were itching to get again. New director, new production. Everybody was, ready to go. It had just got started and it was on its first couple of rehearsals, and then COVID hit. And so we had to abandon that. And we abandoned everything, really, like everybody did. And it hit some hard. They were, ready to go again. Everything was opening up and they could see that, 2020 was on its way down, and said, wow, I'm putting heaps of amount of effort into this. I don't want to, I'm putting too much effort into it. My life is, just drama group and nothing more. So I'm sorry, but I'm going to retire now. I'm stopping. I don't want to do it anymore. Okay, right, my work is too important. I'm going to stop. I've got to concentrate on my job. And there were some that sat down and thought, my God, I love the drama group and it's really hitting me hard. And it really is horrible. I don't want to do this. I just tell you, it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I think there's two ways. It can either make you realize how much you enjoy it, or actually after a few months of not doing it, you think, oh, I've not really missed this that much. And I won't say which camp I'm falling into.
I know you missed it, David.
So what do you think then? So I always say, let's put COVID to one side, and most people don't when answering this question, but what do you think the challenges the group is going to face over the next 5 years are, and how do you think you'll try at least to overcome them?
Well, I guess we had our plans in place from our meetings at the end of 2019. Now, whether we can pick those up again and carry on, we did Zoom meetings, we did Skype meetings, then we said, right, okay, restrictions have relaxed a little bit more, let's all go around to so-and-so's house, garden, while the weather's good, and have a little meeting there. And we just got ourselves back to one of the meeting halls, and we were all sat down in 2 meters apart, and we were saying, right, this is getting a little bit better. This is good. And everything shut down. But there was some quite good achievements during. I mean, also people looked at their drama club and said, right, I love the drama club. What can I do while COVID's on? And so they began to sort of think, right, I'll write a few things. I'll write down my experiences in lockdown. And we had a thing going where it was a communal, you know, the drama group communal play, where somebody would write something one week, hand it over to somebody else and say, right, write me another section of it. And then it would hand it over to somebody else. And then, and it actually took off that three or four of the group managed to get this. This was really something they really enjoyed. And they got everything, they got themselves together, recorded their own bits of play, slapped it all together, and it was quite good. And so they said, somebody said, I know, I'll have a word with BBC Radio Sussex. And they contacted them and said, what do you think of this? And they sent it off. And BBC Radio Sussex said, yeah, that's pretty good. And they cast it one evening during the lockdown.
That's wow. That's
wow. Genuinely, that's amazing.
We all listened to it and we thought, brilliant. That's brilliant. That is great. And it's great. That's the group actually sort of doing worthwhile, you know, during COVID. And it was broadcast at 7:30 one evening on radio. So it was great. We were so pleased, so proud of it. It was brilliant.
You've done so much in such a short period of time. If you're COVID's over, let's say, and you're casting a new show, what are the ideal member attributes that you're looking for?
Ideal member attributes? I would go for enthusiasm. He's one of the high on our list. I'm constantly asked by the guys that in our group that enthusiasm to do whatever it takes to do the next or writing or whatever, and the people that all try and get together and do as much as they possibly can for the group. It's very good. It pleases me. You know, enthusiasm takes you a long, long way. It can't take you all the way, but it takes you a long, long way. And the desire to be part of a group and have a lot of fun. Really, it's great. Yeah, really good.
It does make a difference, doesn't it, when you've got people who want to be there, who want to contribute and who enjoy the whole thing. I never understand people who be in shows and just never seem to enjoy it. Maybe they are enjoying it in their own way and they've just forgot to tell
David,
the face.
I promise you, I'm definitely enjoying it.
Deep, deep down.
But just because the face doesn't look like it.
These shows are only meant to be 30 minutes longer. We've got over 30 minutes, so we'll move on to the quick-fire conclusion questions, which is my attempt to inject some urgency and excitement into the proceedings. First question, what tips would you give somebody wanting to start an Amjam group?
I think the first and foremost is make sure you know what you want to do.
Excellent. So what play or musical would you love to do that you haven't yet done?
That's a tricky one. There are a couple of authors. I do like Alan Ayckbourn, and there are a couple of good authors. I wouldn't go for anything like I say, Harold Pinter or anyone like that. But Alan Ayckbourn is good, and he's always worthwhile. If you are a group that wants to do something but it's got a bit more depth to it, but he's amusing. And Alan Ayckbourn, you can't go really wrong with him. He's got a load of good stuff in his, he's written about 60 or 70 plays, and about half of them are really, really good. And they're worthwhile, very, very good for amateur. They've got a lot more depth to them when you first read it, they've got a lot more depth to them.
Brilliant. And finally, could you sum up what Amdram means to you in 3 words?
I don't think I can. Really, 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 really annoying.
That's not where I thought it was going, to be honest.
I've just given up.
Graham, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank you.
So that's episode 10. Thanks again to Graham for joining us, and we apologise for any audio issues there might have been on there. If you did like the show, please subscribe. If you didn't like the show, also subscribe. share the show on your social media, and leave us a review. It'll help our show reach more people. If you didn't like it, tell us why. We're new to this and we'd love to learn. All comments are welcome, including constructive criticism. We're on Facebook as Amateur Hour, the Amdram Podcast, Twitter as @AmdramPodcast. We have a website, waltondramagroup.co.uk/amateur hour, or you can email us, waltondramagroup@hotmail.co.uk. We'll put all of that in the show notes as well. Finally, we'd like to thank our group sponsor, Armadillo Storage South Liverpool, who kindly provide us with excellent storage facilities. So thanks for listening.